Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah will share a special Easter message titled, Resurrection. What if someone you lost returned? This message will be an encouraging look at the hope believers have because of the resurrection. Now here's Pastor Ray.
The best of all the benefits of Easter, and that is our resurrection. Yeah? Aren't you glad that we have resurrection promised to us this morning? Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even in death, you will live. Even in death, you're going to live. And if you live believing in me, you will never die. Ever. That is quite a promise. A death-proof guarantee of life. Now, speaking of which, there's a new reality, not a reality, but a new television series that just came out a couple of months ago. Perhaps you've seen it, called Resurrection. What if someone you lost returned? Now, I love the premise of that show because, like you, I've lost loved ones in my life. I've lost people that I care deeply about. I've lost people that died and went from this life, left this life far too early. And I know the certainty that there will be more loss in my life before it's the end of time for me. And so I want this business of resurrection, not just as a future hope. I want it as a current reality. I want it as a reality series in my current life. I want resurrection, not someday. I want resurrection right now. And I'm always going to have that longing for people that have been lost to me to be returned, just like you do as well. You see, hope in that kind of resurrection plan is universal. It's all around the world. It's in every culture. It's been in every age. People want resurrection right now. That is an irrepressible desire in the heart of every human being. It's a natural remedy. It's a natural remedy for the grief of loss that we all have experienced. It's a sedative for the anxiety that gets created in us by the fear of death, the fact that we will die someday, the fact that someday, hopefully later than sooner, we're going to lose other people that we care about, and that fear of death. And so this hope in resurrection, this longing for resurrection now, kind of helps to salve that fear. But that kind of resurrection plan is not what we really need. Not really. In fact, if we had that kind of resurrection plan, it would be a problem. You see, the death rate, the last time I checked, is still hovering close to 100%. And most every human being, us being the exception at this point, is going to die. And likely we are as well. And so bringing a loved one back to life, having a lost spouse or a child or a friend brought back to us means that we would only lose them again, because death is still a present reality in life. Now, it would be nice to have them back for a year or five or 30, but they would die another day. They would die in another way, perhaps an even a worse way if they had more time to live. You know, life comes with no 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. It doesn't. And everything that we invent that decelerates dying is only a temporary solution. It's only temporary. So what we really need is more than just a lifetime guarantee, a lifetime warranty. What we need is an eternal life guarantee. That's what we really need. And that's what this Easter story that we're celebrating today, that's what the Easter story is all about. Christ's resurrection is the death-proof guarantee that Jesus promised in John chapter 11. And when you become a resurrection person, and the way you do that is by putting saving faith, by putting your trust in the risen Savior, in the resurrected Christ, though it's no big deal. And again, I've had people that I've lost. I've had people that I've lost to death far too soon, far too early. So I don't want to diminish the loss and the pain that we feel when that happens. But as resurrection people, when we understand what that's really all about, then dying is not the end of the world. Dying is not the end of the world. And over the centuries, resurrection people have proven that in living and especially in dying. In 125 AD, there was a Greek orator named Aristides, and he wrote to a friend trying to explain the rapid growth of this upstart new religion, Christianity. And this is what he wrote. He said, "If a Christian passes from this world, the believers rejoice and offer thanks to God. And then they accompany his body with songs and thanksgiving." Now listen to this. "As if he were setting out from one place to another nearby." Yeah. "They knew that earth was but a shadow, that heaven was the reality, and that resurrection was the dawn of that revealed that endless day for which they were born and had been born again." They understood that. That is the certain hope that resurrection people live with. That is the living hope that they have. And that is my Easter hope for you, for us, that we would commit, or perhaps recommit, as the case may be, to being resurrection people. Maybe some of you here today have never done that. You have never committed by putting your trust, faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Others of you have done that a long time ago. You're believers already, but in a sense, in a way, you live as practical atheists as it relates to the resurrection. You acknowledge it, but you really don't live by moment hope and power of the resurrection. And so my hope is today that we would recommit to living as resurrection people, taking on a new attitude about living and a different mindset toward dying. And if we would do that, if we do that, some radically good changes will take place in our lives. Let me give you three. Number one, you will live. You will begin to live with a conviction that a horrible past won't prevent a happy future. When you become a resurrection person, when you commit, recommit to being a resurrection person, you will live with a conviction that whatever my past was, whatever the failures and hurts and the horrible mistakes that I made of the past were, it will not prevent me from having a happy, prosperous future in God. You see, and this is really what resurrection is all about. Resurrection ensures a new beginning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." See, our old life in the cross, our old life gets buried in Christ's death. And the tomb of the past opens to a new future, unfettered by previous failure. I like the way Watchman Nee said it. He said, "Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection." Aren't you glad for that? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, the Apostle Paul promises, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The old, the failure, the mistakes, the history, the track record is gone. The new is here. I have a feeling that in this room today, some of you are still being crucified for your past. Or maybe by your past. Maybe you're doing that internally because of the guilt that you carry, or maybe others are doing it to you, or maybe you're living in circumstances, consequences of the past that still keep coming back to haunt you, and you're being crucified by your past. I would ask you, what's the point? What's the point? Why would you crucify yourself or allow yourself to be crucified when Jesus did that for you? Your past is buried with Christ. Your new life has come in his resurrection. So make a commitment today, or again, if you've drifted from it, recommit to live as a resurrection person so that your horrible past, your horrific past, your hurt past can give way to a hopeful future. God has promised you a hope in your future. Two, not only will you live with a conviction that your past is erased, but you'll live with the courage that difficulty today won't detour God's plan for tomorrow. Resurrection guarantees that nothing can derail God's plan, because at the cross, Satan threw his best, or his worst, at Jesus, and Jesus overcame. God's plan was not derailed. God's plan prevailed. Resurrection people have a different take on the hard stuff that comes their way, that they face, knowing that God's will for their life cannot be altered. People that get the resurrection understand, God's plan for me cannot be altered no matter what comes my way. And we've been in a message series for a long time now on the life of Abraham. And Abraham was a man renowned for his faith. He's an Old Testament character, in case you don't know who he is. One of the greatest characters in history, Old Testament character, who expressed amazing faith. He expressed New Testament faith, really, in God. So he's renowned for his faith. And yet God tested his faith. We talked about this last week. God tested his faith in the severest way by asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Isaac was his only son. Isaac was the son that was born to Abraham miraculously in his old age. And now Abraham is well over 100 years old. He has his only son. And God asked him to sacrifice, to literally offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. This is the son of promise, the son that God had covenanted with Abraham, that through this son, the whole world will be blessed. You will have numberless descendants through Isaac's seed, through your seed, through Isaac's life. And now God's saying, I want you to take him up to the mountain. I want you to put him on the altar, and I want you to slay him. I want you to kill him as a sacrifice, because I've asked you to. Unbelievable story. I don't have time to go into that. You can get the CD or listen to it online from last week, but an incredible story. And more incredible to me is that Abraham said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Yes, God. Now, where did Abraham get that kind of courage to navigate that kind of a hard test, an extreme test, the most difficult test? Well, Abraham, the Old Testament Abraham, was a resurrection person. You say, well, how is that possible? He lived in the Old Testament. He hadn't seen the resurrection. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. He's a resurrection person. Now, then the question comes, where did Abraham get that kind of reasoning? Where did Abraham develop that kind of reasoning? In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham saw it and was glad. Now, how was that possible? How did Abraham see something that was at least 1,000 years in front of him? How did he see it? Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. This is very interesting. Galatians 3, 8 tells us that God announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Now, when did God do that? Well, there were several episodes in Abraham's life where God came to him and covenanted with him to bless him if Abraham would place his faith in him. And during those times, in between the lines that we read in Scripture, I'm sure that God was rolling out for him his New Testament plan of salvation by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham had a preview. He had a special dispensation from God. The gospel, according to Galatians 3:8, was preached to Abraham in advance. You see, he was able to see through a prophetic telescope what we now see in the rearview mirror of history. Abraham saw it and responded by faith. We see it in history. Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead. And we believe based on that, based on the evidence. Abraham believed simply based on his faith. What we see now in the rearview mirror is salvation by faith. Jesus Christ crucified and risen to life, the resurrection of the living Savior. And when you know that his resurrection guarantees God's plan will prevail, when you know that, as Abraham did, when you know that his resurrection guarantees that his plan will prevail, As Abraham is facing this difficult test of slaying his son as a sacrifice, he knew that God would raise him from the dead. And when you know that, then you can face any test that comes your way in life, the hardest of tests you can face in your life, knowing that God's plan will still prevail. That is how a resurrection person lives. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, that says the gospel was preached in advance to Abraham, then goes on to say, and all who trust in Christ in this same way share the same blessing that Abraham received. You can have the same faith, the same blessing that Abraham had by simply placing your trust in Jesus Christ and living as a resurrection person. And then number 3, you will live with the confidence that death is not the end of life, this life, but the beginning of the next life. Now, why would I make that one of the points? Because the fear of death is bigger, it's a bigger intruder, a bigger nuisance to the human race than you might imagine. The fear of death is universal. It holds people in bondage, both consciously and subconsciously, and it negatively affects every dimension, every aspect of our living, the fear of death. It affects our health. It affects our emotions. It affects our relationships. It affects our peace of mind. It affects our ability to face tomorrow. It is this nagging, ubiquitous thing that the human race has to deal with, the fear of death. But as resurrection people, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, we now live in the hope of eternal life because of Christ's resurrection. We don't have to be in bondage to the fear of death. We can live in hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I want to challenge you this morning, again, that you would commit or recommit to living as a person of the resurrection. Embrace that living hope. And when you do, you will lose that fear. And when you embrace that hope and you lose that fear, you will come to understand that death is really not the end of the world. Death is not the end of the world. It's the beginning of real life. You don't have to fear it. There was a man by the name of John Todd who was born in Vermont in 1800. He went on to be a very prominent preacher in his part of the world. But when he was 6 years old, his father died, and his mother literally went insane and was put into an insane asylum. And he was left without a family. And so this traumatized little boy was sent to live with an aunt in a different place, whom he had never, ever met. Now, the aunt turned out to be a very kind and compassionate, loving person, and John, in her care, thrived. He grew up. She put him through college, and he entered into adulthood and became a very successful person, very successful preacher. Many years after John had left the house and had started living his own life, he got word that his aunt was seriously ill, and she was at death's door. But as tender and as encouraging, kind and compassionate as she had been to this scared little boy when he first arrived in her home, now the fear of death terrorized her. She was absolutely terrified at dying. And so John got word of that, and he wrote her this letter that I want to read to you. He said, it is now 35 years since I, a little boy of 6, was left alone in this world. I'll never forget the day that I made the journey to your house. I was sad that you sent your hired man, Caesar, to come fetch me. I remember my tears and anxieties. I clung to his back and we started for my new home. I became more frightened as we rode along. I asked Caesar, do you think she will have gone to bed when we get there? He said, oh no, when we get out of these here woods, you're going to see her candle shining in the window. And sure enough, we rode into the clearing and there was your candle. And there you were, waiting at the door for me. And there you were, your arms lifting me off my horse. And there was a fire that you built for me and a warm supper that you had prepared for me. And there you were, taking me to bed and hearing my prayers. And there you were, not leaving me until I had fallen asleep that night. I remind you of these things now, dear aunt, because soon God will send for you and take you to your new home. I don't want you to fear that summons. I want you not to fear that strange journey or even the dark messenger of death, because I am sure that at the end of the road, you will find love and welcome. You will find that you will be as safe as here, safer indeed, in God's care and in God's love. Because surely, dear aunt, God can be trusted to be as kind to you as you were to me. Love, John. The people of the resurrection, resurrection people, need not fear death. They need not fear what tomorrow holds, because by believing in the resurrected Christ, we will never die, ever. And in dying, we will live. For those first disciples, the one who had guaranteed that promise, the one who had guaranteed that death-proof life, was lost to them when he died on the cross and was buried. He was lost. But then, resurrection happened, and he returned. And he promised them that he would never leave them. He would never forsake them. He would be with them always by his Spirit, even to the end of the age. And if death came first to them, if death came first, he promised that he would be there. He would be with them even in death. And he would take them to another place, another nearby place, where the day never ends. That place for which they were born and born again. You see, that's what you get when you become a resurrection person. That's what you have when you live as a resurrection person. Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you live believing in me, you will never die. Ever. And then in that verse, Jesus asked the question of all questions, your response to which is that which catalyzes your entrance into the company of the resurrected. This is what brings you into the house of the resurrection people. He asked this question. He said, do you believe this? I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, will live, and whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That is the question. And so, I want to ask you that question this morning. Do you believe this? Do you? Let's pray. If you believe this, I want you to raise your hand right now. Amen. Put it down. Then I want you to recommit to that this morning, because that should be making a difference in how you live today. That should affect your confidence. That should cause you to live with conviction. That should cause you to face any difficulty that you're going to face today or this week with courage. Recommit to that right now. I also want to ask, for those of you that didn't raise your hand, are you ready to believe this? I mean, not just intellectually, but I mean to put saving faith, the place trust in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. By doing so, you will become a resurrection person. You will become a part of the resurrection people that I've talked about this morning. The way you do that is simply by acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and inviting him into your life. It's by admitting that your sins have separated you from him. But through his sacrifice, he paid the price for your sin. He died, he took the penalty for your sins. So you don't have to pay that penalty that you could never pay anyway before a righteous, holy God. You could never pay for yourself. Jesus did it for you. And it's by placing faith in that, saying, I believe Jesus died for me, and I invite him into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. You enter into eternal life. The resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ, gives you the gift of eternal life. And if that's you today, you've never placed that kind of faith in him, or perhaps a long time ago you did, but you've not been walking in that reality, and you this morning want to come back and express that make that commitment again to Him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. So all over this place, how many hands could I see that you would say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ this morning? Raise your hand right now. Let me see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Others? Hold them up again. I'm looking. I'm seeing hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over the place. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. If you've not done that yet, would you do it right now so I can see? I want to include you in this prayer. You'd raise your hand and say, Pastor Ray, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my resurrection and my life. Thank you. Yeah. Others? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer together. We call it a sinner's prayer here at Portland Christian Center. And the reason we all can pray it is because we're all sinners. Some of us have been saved already by grace, and in this moment, those of you who raise your hand for the first time are going to join that company of sinners saved by grace, given the gift of eternal life through the resurrected Lord and Savior. So I'm gonna say this prayer. I just encourage you to repeat it after me. We'll all pray together so that nobody's embarrassed. So let's all do this together. Are you ready? Pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. And I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness. And I recognize that without you, I would be lost for all eternity. But I surrender my life to you right now. Forgive me from my sins. Come into my heart and live as Lord and Savior. And if you will help me, from this day forward, I will live for you. I will live every day as a resurrection person. And best of all, thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you so much. To you who made that decision, you raised your hand, you prayed that prayer, congratulations. The best decision you will ever make. And we want to be a blessing to you here at the church. We have classes, we have people that can help you to begin a new walk with Jesus as Lord of your life. And we would love to chat with you about that. I would encourage you to indicate that on a friendship card, or come to one of the pastors after the service, or tell somebody, or come back next week and join our Alpha class. We want to be a part of blessing you and helping you to live the rest of your life as a resurrection person.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. For more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Again, thank you for listening.